He will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws, and they will be placed under his control for a time and times and a half time. And I read that out of the New Living Translation. Let me read it out of the King James Version. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand unto a time and times and the dividing of time. We pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this is your day, Lord. This is the day that thou hast made, Lord, and we will rejoice and be glad in it today, God. We thank you, Father, for already the moving of your Holy Spirit that we have felt here tonight, Lord. And we just ask over these next few moments, God, that, Lord, for your anointing, Lord, to touch my lips of clay. Lord, use me, help me to get out of the way. And, Lord, let your light be shone through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You can have a seat. I understand that this verse is referring to the Antichrist, and it's actually referring to the end of time. But I want to look at this verse, the particular part where it says, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And I know that that's talking about the last days and possibly the tribulation. But I want to focus in on right now and what the enemy is doing. It's hard to function when we're tired, amen? If you're worn out and you're tired, it's hard to do anything. Let alone go to work or do anything in your life. When we are beat, worn out, and exhausted, that's when we say things that we regret and we do things that we regret. Amen? When we're tired and worn out. We do things that we normally wouldn't do. We snap back at people. Anybody do that? In the house tonight? We're grumpy. We're angry. Or, and maybe it's just me, I'm hungry and I need something to eat. And we get hangry. That's an actual word now. Hangry. But church, I believe that we're in the last days. Amen? Amen? I believe Christ is coming back for his church very soon and very soon. And if you disagree with me on that, I ask you one question. Where have you been since March of 2020? Have you been under a rock somewhere? I mean, things have been crazy the last 2 years. And as pastor is telling us, and I believe too, that things are going to get worse. The Bible talks about that. The nickname for the 1920s was the Roaring Twenties. You remember that from your history books? Hopefully nobody was living in that time. That was quite a few years ago. And if you are, that's amazing, because that's a long life, lived life. But the 1920s was called the Roaring Twenties. And that was an appropriate nickname for that time period. The church, 100 years later, it lives up to the same. We're living in the Roaring Twenties, but a different about roaring about chaos and problems that are coming our way. It seems like wave after wave after wave of chaos. Amen? Amen. You could call it the Roaring Twenties. The shortage is everywhere. There's forced vaccinations, the forced church closings. It's God's asking the question, what's next on the radar? What's coming next down the line? We're tired, we're wore out, and we're frustrated. And all points to one thing. It's the enemy, church. And he's trying to wear us out. He's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen? He's trying his very best. Does all this sound familiar to you as a Christian? He's trying to wear out. That is exactly what the devil wants to do to us. He's tired. He wants us tired, frustrated, and to the point we're about to give up. Amen? Again, if we get tired and get frustrated, when we're tired with our kids, we snap at them. When they're tired of us, they snap at us. If we're tired with our boss, we snap at them. Hopefully not too much, we still keep a job. But the point is when we get tired and wore out, we say things and do things that we regret. And it causes us, excuse me, to lose our guard and let our guard down. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone whom he can devour. Church, the enemy is looking for somebody to devour tonight. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. There's only one lion in the tribe of Judah. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But the enemy is always an imitator. He's always trying to imitate the Lord. Everything he does. He tried to ascend to heaven to take God's throne. And God had to send him down to hell. Amen? He's all the time trying to imitate God. That's why there's going to be an Antichrist that comes on the scene. The enemy's all the time trying to imitate God, but he'll never be him. Amen? He's defeated, and he's going to be put in the lake of fire one of these days. Amen? But until that time, he's going to try his best to wear us out and try to come around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, a lion goes around, and a lot of times we get the picture of a lion in the wild that he's the king of the jungle. It's his nickname. And we get the picture that he goes after the biggest and largest beast. But truth be known, a lot of times his quick and favorite meal is the weak and lame and the tired and wore out. Amen? Those that he can easily pick off. So what 1 Peter says, 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He is trying his best to take on and grab those that are weak and are tired and wore out. He loves to pick out those who are weak. And the enemy never misses an opportunity to capitalize on that. Amen? If our guard's down, he's going to come in and do whatever he can. Church, it's hard to pray when we're tired. It's hard to read God's word when we're tired. It's hard to tell others about Jesus when we're wore out and we're tired. Amen? It's hard to do that. When we're so worn out by the enemy's relentless pursuit, it is hard to come to church sometimes when finances aren't where they should be, when our family members are struggling, or we're struggling, our marriage is struggling, our kids are struggling, whatever the situation may be. Sometimes it's a chore to come to church because we're wore out and we're tired. And the enemy knows that, and he's going to push that. Amen? He never misses opportunity. Again, I said it's going to be a little different. I'm having to get used to taking these glasses on and off, so just bear with me. What to look at. I want to look at tonight some areas that the enemy is lasering in on when he's trying to wear us out. Amen? I want to look at a few things tonight. Areas I believe Satan is turning the pressure up a little bit. Families, I believe, are number one target. If you have a family tonight, you have a bullseye on your back. I believe the enemy is after families like never before. He's always been after families because families are what makes up a church. Amen? You take away the families of the church, and there is no church. We have to have families. And the enemy knows this. I believe he's ratcheting it up a little bit more to put pressure on the church. The devil hates families because he knows how powerful and how functioning a fully spiritual godly family is, firing on all cylinders. He knows how powerful that family is. Amen? He knows what that family can do to his kingdom. He knows a family that's on fire for God will do great damage to the kingdom of hell. Satan trembles at a Christian family that's firing on all cylinders. A healthy family that joins forces with another family. Amen? And that joins forces with another family. Pretty soon, you have a church. Pretty soon, you have revival. And the enemy hates revival. Amen? Because it tends to happen on down the road. But the enemy's out to wear out the saints. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, when families come together, it forms the church. And the Bible says, Jesus told Peter, he said, thou art Peter, and upon you I'm going to build my church. Upon what he said, that thou art Christ, I'm going to build my church. And that church, we can go to the gates of hell, because the gates of hell is not going to prevail against us, church. So no matter how bad the enemy wears us out, remember, he's not going to win. He's not going to prevail. Amen? The gates of hell will not prevail against us. But he hates families. You see, you take families out, and it equals no church. And he hates children. He hates children tonight, church, because children are the future. Amen? And they're the present now. They're here now. But they're the future also. And it's no secret that the enemy has been after the offspring of man since God pronounced judgment upon the devil back in the Garden of Eden. Remember what happened?
Yeah.
The serpent came and he deceived Eve, and she gave it to her husband Adam, and they took part of the fruit, and sin came upon mankind. But God cursed Satan, or the snake, who was Satan. Yeah. He said this in Genesis 3:15, I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and his offspring, and he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. That was the first prophecy of Jesus Christ coming on the scene, amen? And one day, the offspring of woman would strike the enemy's head, amen? Thank God that he did that, amen? When he died on the cross and he rose, he struck him once and for all, amen? Death, one final blow, has no victory, amen?
Amen.
But that burst, and ever since that time, the enemy has been after the offspring of man. Immediately, notice what happens. Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. What happens in that situation? One died, amen?
Yeah.
The enemy's always been after the offspring.
Yes.
Right.
Remember what happened during the time of Moses? The enemy came after him. Remember the slaughter of the children? Amen? You don't think the enemy knew that something was coming down. He knew that there was a Savior coming down the road.
Right.
And he was doing everything he could. So at the time of Moses, there was a slaughter of babies.
Yeah.
Another time, he knew. He's always been after the children. Why? He knows what's coming.
Yeah.
Why do you think there was, during the time of Jesus, again, another slaughter of 2 years old and younger, King Herod?
Yes.
Again, the enemy is always after the offspring. The church, Satan has waged war on our children from the beginning of time. Why? He knows the earlier he can get a child, the better he can take them and claim them for his kingdom. Amen?
Yeah.
He knows this. Why do you think he waged his war on the womb? Amen?
Right.
The way God designed a mom and her ability to carry life is amazing.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that there's just a big bang theory out in space a billion years ago, and the stuff where we got human beings and a baby grows inside of mom in 9 months and mom is able to take care of that was just random. No, sir, no, ma'am. We have an intelligent creator and designer, God Jehovah, amen? And he knows exactly. He created a mama to be able to take care of that baby and that baby to grow inside that womb. But the enemy hates that. The enemy doesn't like that. So what has he done? He's waged war from the very beginning. What better way to destroy children than to wipe them out in the womb before they even come upon the earth?
Right.
They're alive inside the womb, but before they take that first breath, snuff them out. I believe demonic forces has forced its lie to say that a baby is nothing more than a clump of cells. And the world has believed that lie.
Yeah.
Ever since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was decided, there has been 56,993,299 babies slaughtered. Yes, I said slaughter in the womb.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, come on here.
Since 1973. And millions more before then that weren't kept count. That's 2,900 a day. 137 an hour. 2.3 a minute. All in the name of a woman's choice. My body, my choice, they say. Well, it's your body. You're correct. Actually, the Bible teaches our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That just go along with what they're saying. It's your body. You're correct. But that baby inside of you has its own body. And you have no right to take its life.
That's
right.
The
Bible says that God is a giver and taker of life. Amen? The world says, the Word says that God is a giver and taker of life. Praise the Lord that after years of praying, fasting, and working to get the right lawmakers, on June 24th, amen, church, we had a landmark victory, amen, Supreme Court threw down Roe versus Wade, amen, and now that doesn't end the situation, that doesn't end the enemy's, what he's doing, that just puts it back to the states, but praise the Lord, there are states that have trigger laws, and those already taken effect, amen, so abortion is being outlawed in those states, but there are still some states out there, like Californication. But we know it's California, amen?
Yeah.
I thought it might be a few laps out of that one. Or New York. Those are a few out there, church, that still are going to push it even harder. Amen? They're going to be a refuge state to allow people to come in. I've even heard corporations like Amazon and I believe it's Dick's Sporting Goods and maybe Starbucks are paying their employees to go to a different state to get an abortion. I told somebody, I worked with the other day, the day Walmart, the company I work for does that, because they asked them, time to find a new job.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up on that one.
Yeah.
Church, that's ridiculous. But it's going to happen, and the fight's not over, so we need to keep praying.
Amen.
Amen. We prayed for years and years and years, and God transformed that situation.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. What a huge victory of life. Innocent life is protected. Woke Christians everywhere. If you don't know what a woke Christian is, Google it. See what it, you'll find out what a woke Christian is. But woke Christians everywhere, pastors that are woke, stood up and said, we shouldn't apply this situation because there's thousands of women that are suffering. We needed to applaud. We don't brag, but it was okay to applaud what happened. Amen, church? That was victory. It was okay to celebrate.
Yes, sir.
We should celebrate. Pulpits across the USA on that next Sunday should have rang out with praise for what the Lord did. Amen? Not bragging, but just praising the Lord for what He did. And the funny thing is, they claim it back. This is not in my notes. But they claim it and they throw it back at us and say, well, Christians, you don't care about a woman and her health. But Christians are the ones that adopt most of the babies. Christians are the ones that run the women clinics that give the women all the needs that they have.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Now the fight is not over again. I said it's come back to the states. And a lot of states still have abortions, so we need to pray that God will remove those lawmakers and put in lawmakers that will open, that will abandon abortion. If the enemy can't get children in the womb, by the time they become teenagers, he's licking his chops again, amen? He's ready to destroy them. Teens are a fun season in life, said no parent ever. Amen? When they come as babies, you know, when you first have a baby and then two or three or four or five, like my case, come along, they're precious, and then they reach that toddler stage, terrible twos, and you get all through that. There's a sweet spot. Now, this is my opinion. There's a sweet spot between 7, 8, 9, 10, where they just adore you, you adore them, you love them, and then teenage comes. Teenage years. And you think, my Lord, what did we do? Why did we have children? What in the world? I mean, Christine and I helped, and we used to pastor a youth group, and we've helped with youth group for over 15, 18 years. And man, I love working with the youth, but I can't send my kids back home. Amen. I could send the kids in ministry back home. I couldn't let my kids came home with me. I'm just joking mostly. I do love my kids, even in those teenage years. But there's a reason why Satan loves this age. They are young and vulnerable, right? They are transitioning from children into adults. And that's a tough situation. I remember going through that as a young person as well. And there's habits and there's things that were formed during our teenage years. Amen? We all, even as adults, go back to our teenage years. And we picked up habits and we picked up likes and dislikes in those early years. And all the ad execs, they love teenagers. They love teenagers because they know that if they can put an ad out and they can sell a brand, that they know that teenager grabs that brand and takes it and uses it, that they'll be sold for the rest of their life. Did you know that? There's a reason why you drink Dr. Pepper or Coke. There's a reason why you like Doritos potato chips. There's a reason why you eat it Kentucky Fried Chicken or pizza. Pizza is not even Italian anymore. You know what I'm saying? You picked up those when you were a teenager more than likely, or your early adult, young children, your childhood. If I can speak right tonight. The enemy knows this. The enemy knows this. He knows that if he can get children, especially teenagers, at that age, he knows that he has them for the rest of his life. He knows that they'll be a loyal customer to him. Also, the porn industry loves teens. Amen, church? We've got a crisis on our hand. Yeah. Porn industry is making millions and millions and billions of dollars every year. And most of it's trafficking young girls. And we, as a country, we support it. We need to be on our lawmakers to tell them to end porn. Not because we're Christians, we are Christians, but not because we're high and mighty, but no, because what it does, the damage it does to other people and the lives, amen? But the enemy loves to take the porn industry. When all those hormones are raging as a teenager, you know what it was like. If you have teenagers, you know what it's like in your house. But the enemy loves to throw some gasoline on that hormones with pornography. And you know what happens when that?
Yeah.
They're addicted for life. It's tough. I was a teenager once. My kids don't believe that, but I was a teenager once. I dealt with those things.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they think, I wasn't on the ark. I was back. It was only 15, it was only 20 years ago, 25 years ago when I was a teenager. And believe it or not, we dealt with some of the same things. But then he wants to get you addicted. Because why? Because you'll be a return customer for years. And the enemy knows this. So he's wrenching up the pressure tonight, church, on our children. Because Satan attacks our kids from babies to adulthood, and he wears parents out. If you're a parent here tonight, you know what it's like to be raising kids and be worn out and tired. Amen? Amen. And we love our kids, but the enemy knows exactly what to do, what pinch point to get us wore out and tired. Some of the more wore out and tired, not knowing what to do, is having issues with my children. If we're honest tonight, amen? And my kids are good, but you know what I'm saying? Every family deals with something, and you think, my Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to? I didn't do that to my dad.
Yeah.
And my dad would say he didn't do it to his dad. You know, it's the line. It goes a long way back. But we don't sometimes think, God, what am I going to do here? I need the wisdom of Solomon. I need it now. Just like downloaded right in here, right now. Mm-hmm. The parents are wore out. Families sometimes feel like they're in the war zone. And all part of Satan's plan to wear out the saints, church.
Yeah.
Another pressure point is fathers. Fathers are gone.
Yes.
Fathers have failed.
Yeah.
Hollywood loves to make fun of fathers. Mm-hmm. Church, we have a generation, you know, back when the Uvalde shooting happened, that tragic, what was it, about a month ago, 2 months ago? Happened. And of course, we know what happened with the lawmakers. They all wanted to flood and take the guns and blame the guns. And I put a post on Facebook that said, you know what, there is still evil in this world. There's still a devil. And people are just evil at times. Amen? We know that. And the thing is that I also put on there, why aren't we talking about fathers that are not with these young people? This young man didn't have a father. He's living with his grandparents. Why weren't the fathers? Why don't we start instead trying to Washington, D.C. try to grab our guns, why don't we go and address the fatherless issue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we go after that, church? Because there's a problem. There's an epidemic. Fathers are gone. Hollywood loves to make fun of fathers. If there are fathers in the house, Hollywood loves to make fun of them. Look at all the sitcoms.
Yes.
If you watch sitcoms, if you watch that junk, you'll see that the father is made to be a bumbling fool. Gone are the days of Ward Cleaver. Do you remember him? These young people have no idea what I'm talking about. Or Andy Griffith. Gone are those fathers that were young, that were godly men. They may not be trained as church men, but they had morals and godly morals, and they led their families. But now we have people like Homer Simpson and other guys that tell dad jokes and wear their underwear up to here and belch out beer and act like a bumbling fool.
Yeah. Come on.
Or you see a dad and he's wearing high socks with cargo shorts and mowing the lawn. And that's the running joke. Now, if you do that, I'm going to make fun of you. That's just something that teenagers like to call dad clothes. The church, the point is, there's fathers. There's a father's problem. The enemy knows this, and he's ratcheted up. If he can take care of, again, remember what I'm talking about. He's wearing out the saints.
Yeah.
He's wearing out families. If he can take the children, if he can get them away from the Lord, then he can get, first of all, it actually starts with the Father.
Yeah.
He can get rid of the high priest, the role God has called the man to be, the high priest. If he can take him out of that situation and he can cause him to get that position up, then the family has been weakened already.
Yes.
Amen? And there's a lot of godly women that have stepped up.
Yes.
And praise God for them, that have raised their kids and been the spiritual leader. But the actual role is the man, the father, and that's blessed because it's God's ordained order, and we know that God is a God of order.
Yeah.
Amen? And when you step outside of that order, you can still survive, but it's going to be difficult. And the enemy knows this, so he's taking out fathers. We need more fathers right now, church, to reclaim their role of high priest at their house.
Yes.
The enemy has caused men to abandon that post. Church, man, I'm talking to you tonight. We need to step up.
Yes,
and we need to take that post. And we need to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
It's our duty to get the children up and get them ready. Get them, tell them, we're going to church today. If we have to If we have to make up our mind or say, don't know what we're doing on Sunday morning, that reflects down to the kids. But if we know, hey, it's church day, we're getting up, they know and they will follow.
Yes,
it's our duty, men. That's for me in my house.
We will serve the Lord.
It's time we make a declaration to the devil and say, my house is going to serve the Lord.
My
amen, church?
Amen.
Amen, men? Yes. Then he knows this. He knows that he can take away men from their position, fathers, that he can cause all kinds of problems, and that's what we're seeing in this world.
Exactly. Yes,
men that are raising kids, and kids are getting into trouble and causing all kinds of problems. It's a father's problem, not a gun issue.
Right.
A sin issue. Marriages, real quickly. Marriage has been under attack for years. Again, I'm talking about wearing out the saints tonight.
Yeah.
Wearing them out. Marriages have been under attack. Within the last 10 to 15 years, Satan has put an extra effort, I believe, in trying to annihilate marriages. You can probably say within the last 20, 25 years. Amen? Amen. Divorces have skyrocketed, even in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I'm going to be funny tonight. I can't make up my mind. I look down, I can't see something, I go back up. But even in the church, it's skyrocketing. But he knows this. He knows that he can tear down the Holy Institute of Matrimony. Families won't be existing. Churches won't be there. So he starts at the very top. Marriages.
Yes.
Marriages.
Yes.
Same-sex marriages have been ushered in within the last decade, trying to redefine marriage. The Supreme Court can try to redefine it. The church, we know what God's Word says. That's what's good enough for me. And that's what I'm going to stick with.
Yeah.
And you know what? It wasn't just that they wanted. They pushed. And now you can marry your daughter. You can marry, I heard of a person in Seattle married a building. How absurd is that? But once they open up that box, everything's out. Sin is, they're not after just one thing. They're after everything. Marriages are under attack because the devil knows the power of a marriage. He knows what happens. Marriage brings forth a union between a man and a woman. It represents Jesus and us. Amen. We're called the bride of Christ.
Right.
It represents that union when the two shall become one, when we become one with Christ. Marriages are ordained of God. Not only do they become in a oneness, but they also produce offspring. Again, and the enemy hates this.
Right.
That's why he's after our children.
So true.
Marriage are under constant attack. And the enemy, I believe, is ratcheted up like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil knows if he can break up a marriage, there will be huge collateral damage. His favorite thing to do is take a marriage of 10 or 15 years with children and wreck it. And see all the debris flow everywhere. And if you're here tonight and you've been divorced, I'm not preaching on you or condemning you. Things happen. All I'm talking about is what the enemy is out to do.
Right.
And we as a church, we need to be ready. Amen? Because he's going to try to wear us out. And he's going to try to make us tired. In closing tonight, the enemy is relentless. Day and night, he wages war on God's people. Seems like we get hit with a bomb after bomb after bomb. Amen? Spiritual bomb. You know what I'm talking about, a spiritual bomb?
Yeah.
You get knocked off your feet. Amen. Friday, my work had they normally don't do this, but they had the bomb squad come in, and he parked his truck, and he did a little demo. And I had to go out there on company time, that's why I'm down there, to be honest with you. It's killed a few minutes, but it was actually pretty interesting. But they talked about, you know, you've seen the bomb suits, right? That they wear, the big old huge pads and a helmet. And he was talking about that if a bomb goes off, you know, within a few feet of that, he said it may be gruesome, but basically the only thing is it's going to allow you to have an open casket. Because when a bomb goes off, it's the shock wave. Your insides are mush. And a lot of times that's what happens with the enemy. He comes in and he just bombs us every day.
Right.
Little by little, or a big bomb. And maybe you get blown off your feet. And you don't know what to do. And Again, his aim is to make you tired and wore out. Attack after attack, we get so wore out that we lay down our weapons and choose not to fight. And then he comes in and he pounces like a roaring lion. Church, now is the time not to give up. Amen. Will you stand with me?
Yes.
Now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to turn our hearts to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Now is the time to turn our hearts to the one who defeated the enemy once and for all. You see, church, we know the ending of the story. We know that the enemy is going to be kicked into a lake of fire. We know what happens. We just got to hold on. Amen. Just like when Paul got shipwrecked. Remember when he was going to Rome on the Christian ship and it began to get stormy and they began to not find their way for a few days and it began to become apparent that the ship was going down. And remember they tried to tell Paul to kill the prisoners and Paul said, no, I had an angel come by me, stand beside me last night and we need to stay on this ship. It came to the point where the ship actually shipwrecked and everybody had to get on shore. They had to grab a hold of something, amen? But not one single person perished. Church, we may have to grab on to a beam or a piece of wood that's floating by and stay on it. But we won't perish if we're parts of Jesus Christ, amen? Father, we've made our salvation secure, amen? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Church, the enemy will wear us out. He will wear the saints out until Christ comes back and takes him down and says, that's it. He's going to wear us out. But we don't have to lay down. We can fight back. Amen? If you're here tonight, you bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you. Thank you, Father, for your word, God. Lord, that your word is the truth. Lord, we know that. And thank you tonight for the word. God, I thank you for your people that are here tonight, God. I pray for these next few moments. Holy Spirit, have your way. Guide us and direct us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, real quick. I wonder if you're here tonight and you're wore out. You see, Brother Aaron, I am just wore out. I am tired. The enemy has come after me, left and right, sideways, backwards, you name it. I am tired and I am wore out. Is that you tonight? I want you to just simply lift up your hand. Is that you tonight? Amen. Hands going all up. I want you to do something else for me. If you lifted up your hand, would you slip out of your seat and make your way down to this altar and just stand here tonight? Because we're going to pray for you. You don't have to be wore out. And it's okay if you get wore out. That's what this body of Christ is here to do, is to lift you up, encourage you, and get you back on your feet.